so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope.
Didn't she do an awesome job? That was great. Nice job, Dee Dee. Dee Dee was baptized just a few weeks ago, and that was awesome to celebrate her story and all God continues to do in her life. I mean, when I was, how old is she?
Six.
Six? I mean, there is no way I was getting on this stage. That is amazing. So thank you, Dee Dee. Well, we're in our second week of our Hope series. And by the way, Merry Christmas to you. All right, thank you. There you go. Thank you for being here and celebrating Christmas with us today. Last week, this is just a two-part series. And last week, we talked about how faith and hope are connected. In fact, our hope is rooted in our faith. And we don't have time to debrief too much of that from last week, so just go check that out on our YouTube channel. But today, let's start in Romans chapter 5. And as Dee Dee read for us, but let's start in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's pray as we get started. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and the hope that is filled all through the scriptures. And so, Father, right now, today, I pray that your spirit will saturate this environment so much that we'll leave filled with hope. Because we know that hope is a certainty. So, Father, work in this place. Work in that kid's barn. I pray that you'll just have another big move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my family and I have been in our home for a little over 3 years now. And I don't mean to complain about it, okay? Because I really do like our home. It's a good home. It's a little bit of an older home. So, you know, I mean, naturally, you got to expect certain repairs and things. But we have had a lot of problems in this home. Especially as it pertains to water, which wouldn't be that big of a deal, except I don't know anything about water, except that I know I need to drink it to survive, and that's pretty much it. And so early on, when we moved in, our dishwasher broke, and it was an old dishwasher, and so I was like, okay, let's just replace it, no big deal. But I even had to go on YouTube to check how do you put in a dishwasher, right? Well, not long after that, the refrigerator line busts, and I didn't even know where to start on that, so I was just like, well, we'll just drink out of the faucet from now on. That's fine. It's no big deal, because I just don't know anything about it. Well, then after that, the washer starts leaking, and we got to replace it, and when the washer started leaking, it's upstairs washer, so it got all the way into the downstairs, and there was all this water issue that happened because of it, and now you're putting out not just the issue, but all the things that issue caused in the first place. Next thing that happens is our toilet breaks, and it floods our living room. We get it fixed, and then not long after that, it happens again to the toilet. And then not long after that, the outside spigot just starts shooting out water, and we're like, what is going on? And then the water heater goes out, and it floods again our house. I go to Morgan at one point, and I go, Morgan, this house is possessed. We got to get out of here. It took a lot of time, but what we realized was actually that when we had moved in, the water pressure had been set up to 150 almost. And really, it shouldn't exceed about 60. Well, we didn't really know that at the time. So what was happening is the valves were just getting busted, and the copper pipe was getting all kind of pinholes and things in it. And by the way, that's a whole other sermon for another day, talking about getting to the source of the problem in the first place, but we'll have to do that another day. Now, I would never say that any of that was good at all, and I certainly am not glad that any of it happened, but I did notice some things being produced in me over time. I remember cutting some copper pipe one time, and I'm like coupling joints, and I'm like putting in this elbow into the spigot, and I take a step back, and I'm going, wait, me? I'm doing this? I mean, I would have envisioned me cutting pipe in any way. See, what happened early on was I would lay in bed at night, no joke. I would lay in bed at night fearing, what is going to break next? In fact, I would have dreams about walking downstairs and needing a canoe to get around the place. There was so much fear in me. But over time, I noticed something being produced in me. I noticed that fear began to subside as God was growing some things in me, to the point where I said, you know what? If something happens, I think I might be able to manage it. I think everything might be okay here. Next thing that comes my way, I think it's going to be all right. God was producing some things in me. Call it growth, call it maturity, call it character, call it perseverance, call it confidence, you name it. God worked through that situation to help me to live ultimately with hope that no matter what happened, everything was going to be okay. This example is quite a bit trivial. I get that. I certainly concede that. Relative to the suffering that many of us have gone through even just this year. Grief, loss, trauma, isolation. There's all kinds of suffering, but your suffering isn't random. It can be used by God, and He does produce some things in suffering. And the thing He ultimately wants to produce in us is for us to be filled with hope. It's not that He wants suffering for us, but He does want us to be a people of hope. And through suffering, we can become a people who persevere, whose character builds, and ultimately someone who lives with hope. Now, other things can be produced in suffering besides hope. Things like victim mentalities, or pity, or bitterness, and things like that can be produced with hope. How we handle suffering is extremely important. And the only way for hope to be produced in suffering is by persevering with God. See, Job, in the Old Testament, when he goes through immense suffering, he is always turning towards God. Now, sometimes he's even chastising God. Sometimes he's so frustrated with God. But when he asks a question, he really does want the answer. He really is turning himself towards God. You have to turn yourself towards God in suffering. You can't turn to other things or draw back from him and expect to be ultimately filled with hope, because he is our hope. And if you do stay with him, hope will ultimately be produced. Now, it doesn't mean that only hope will be produced. We'll still grieve, we'll still mourn in suffering, but we also can be filled with the reality of hope in the midst. See, the good news of Jesus is not that there will no longer be any dark valleys. The good news of Jesus is that he has promised always to be with us in those dark valleys. And if he's with us, then we always, always, always have hope. Recently, my niece was... She continues to deal with some pretty severe ankle issues. It's been almost a year, and nobody really knows what's going on, and, you know, seen some different people and stuff. And I've felt so much compassion for her, because, you know, she's 12 years old. She's in her prime, like, athletic years, and those have kind of been taken from her to this point. And so one day I just got the elders together, and I said, hey, let's lay hands on her and pray for healing in this. And days to come, I'd find out that she's continuing to deal with this ankle pain. And I was a little frustrated at first, to be honest. You know, and I take a step back and I go, did I not just have enough faith? You know, the things that the enemy kind of tempts you to think about? Did I not just have enough faith? Or what's going on here? Is there something wrong with me that God didn't answer this prayer? And as I took it to him, some things were revealed to me in Romans chapter 5. Sometimes God's grace is actually saying, no, Dallas, there's something else that I have here. That the grace is saying, I'm going to produce something even that would be beyond the healing at times. So he brought me to Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. See, God is producing something in her through the mystery, through the frustration, through the pain that goes far beyond what we were even asking. God is using it. God is instilling perseverance in her. God is building her character, and God is producing hope. Paul would say it like this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that's why, as we continue in Romans chapter 5, after it says things like hope are produced, it says this, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, again, the good news of the gospel is not that there's no more suffering in the name of Jesus. It's just that Jesus has entered into that suffering. It's that he's right here. He's not wasting that suffering. He's doing things, and ultimately he's producing hope in us. You know, I think our theology can get a bit muddled in our culture today, even going all the way back to the Christmas story. The Christmas story is not just a nice, sweet story. You know, we get those manger scenes from Hobby Lobby and stuff, and, you know, we decorate it up all real nice and stuff. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, okay, whatsoever. But it's not just a nice, sweet story. It's actually a story of immense struggle and suffering that Jesus enters into to be our hope. Because of Mary having a baby prior to marriage, Mary is likely viewed by the town as a whore who is lucky not to be stoned to death. Joseph is probably viewed as a man who has completely disregarded God's laws. Their reputations are ruined, and that would be enough to demoralize most people right there. I mean, our reputations are everything to a lot of people, but they persevere and they stay close to God. And then, living in poverty and not really having any resources or excess, they have to take a trip to Bethlehem. A five-day journey, 90 miles to Bethlehem, while Mary, by the way, is about 9 months pregnant. Now, I'm out of my element here, ladies, but does that sound like a bit like suffering? 9 months, 90 miles, sleeping on the side of the road during those nights. And by the way, Joseph, too, I mean, he likely walked all those 90 miles to provide for Mary and her needs. And then, when you get to the end of the journey, it's not the Plaza Hotel that she's giving birth into. It's this feeding trough in a barn because no one had any room. And imagine the panic. You know, as labor starts to set in, imagine the panic because they're thinking, this is no place for a king to be born. What kind of king wants to be born in a barn? Well, only someone who wants to be involved in our suffering. Yet, at this point, the suffering isn't quite over for Mary or Joseph. They become hunted by King Herod, and they have to flee to another country. And then, after a good amount of time, from outside their own country, they go back to Nazareth. Podunk, Nothingville, Nazareth. Reputation still ruined. See, the Christmas story and the story of Jesus is not one of prosperity and happiness. It is one of hope in the midst of suffering. The nativity scene is beautiful not because it's everything's good, everything's fine, whatever. The nativity scene is beautiful because Jesus enters into our suffering and ultimately fills us with hope in the midst. And that's why Mary could sing, she could rejoice, she could ponder these things up in her heart. Why? Because to Mary, hope through the name of Jesus was a certainty. Because the angel said, his kingdom will never end. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. See, one of the things that I love so much about Jesus is that hope in his name is an absolute certainty. And by the way, he's not only making all things new, he's also making all things right. Three things I want you to take home with you this Christmas season. He has made things right, he is making things right, and one day he will make all things right. When you look at the Old Testament and you look at things like justice, what it's saying is that God wants things to be made right. That if somebody has been harmed or treated poorly, God wants that to be made right. And just like our relationship was fractured with him, he wanted to make that relationship right. And that's why Jesus has come. So he's made things right in our relationship. And now his kingdom is here on earth, just like it is in heaven. So he's making things right now through his people. And one day, everything will be made right. One day we'll see the fullness of everything being made right. I don't know about you, but that brings hope to my soul. No more death. No more mourning. Look at what all God does in our suffering. 2 Corinthians 4:17, 18 says this, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Or Romans 8:18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Or Revelation 21:4, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." See, we always have hope in his name. Hope, at the end of the day, is totally vindicated. We've got to understand that in this Christmas season. Tim Keller wrote a book called Hidden Christmas, and there's a chapter in here about suffering. And by the way, if you want this book, just come tell me after service, I'll give it to you. I usually just read a book and then give it away. But he suffered through cancer and many bouts of cancer before finally cancer took his life. But he says this about Jesus, the Christmas story, and his own suffering. It says, Hebrews says, "Jesus was made like us, fully human in every way. That means because he himself suffered when he was tried and tested, he is able to help those who are being tried and tested. When you're happy and things are going well, you feel like part of the human race. But when something bad happens and real suffering happens to you, it feels so lonely. People around you may express sympathy, but it doesn't help. Then you meet someone who has been through exactly the same thing. They know what it's like. You pour your heart out to them. You listen to them and their opinions because they have been through the same thing. When they comfort you, you're comforted. Some years ago, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. I was treated, and the cancer has not returned. Yet, I learned for the first time what it was like to live under the shadow of uncertainty of a life-threatening disease. I was 51 when that happened. I had been a pastor for many years, and I had held a lot of hands at hospital bedsides. I thought I understood what it was like to go through chronic illness. Yet, when I went through my own bout with cancer, I realized I knew far less than I imagined. I also discovered that people now were more eager to talk about their suffering with me. My experience of fear and pain had given me a new power to comfort others. The incarnation means that God suffered and that Jesus triumphed through suffering. That means, as Hebrews 2:17 and 18 said, that Jesus now has an infinite power to comfort. Christmas shows you a God unlike the God of any other faith. Have you been betrayed? Have you been lonely? Have you been destitute? Have you faced death? So has he. Some say, "You don't understand, I've prayed to God for things and God ignored my prayer." Well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried out, "Father, may this cup be taken from me." And he was turned down. Jesus knows the pain of unanswered prayer. Some say, "I feel like God has abandoned me." And what do you think Jesus was saying on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Christianity says, God has been all the places that you have been. He has been in the darkness that you are now and more. And therefore, you can trust him. You can rely on him because he knows and has the power to comfort, strengthen, and bring you through. Christianity is the only religion where God has empathized with us and suffered with us. See, the good news of Christmas, the good news of great joy of Christmas, is that God is with us. And if God is with us, then so is the hope of the world. And this hope never does disappoint. Because again, he never promised us we wouldn't go through dark valleys. He promised us that he would always be with us in the midst. And if he's with us in the midst, we always have a hope that is a certainty. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the reality of hope this Christmas season. We thank you that you have made things right in our relationship, and you're making things right now, and that one day everything will be made right. So as we go and we do the traditions and things this Christmas season, I pray that you'll help impart to us that living, active hope that only you provide. Father, through the suffering, I know the enemy likes to distract and distort things and make us be a people of hopelessness, but I pray, would you call him out as a liar in those moments? Would you remind us of the truths of your word that we've talked about today, and that if we just turn towards you, if we just stay with you, that things like endurance are built up, things like character are built up, and ultimately, things like hope we can live with. Father, remind us of these truths over and over and over and over again. We love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship together.
One.